KXRN LP.
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member supported.
KXFM on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
Couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, Friday edition of The Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you here. This week has absolutely flown by, and we find ourselves on a nice, rainy, kind of drizzly Friday morning. We welcome in for Chamber Chat, as we do each and every Friday, the lovely, the talented Paula Hornbuckle-Arnold. Welcome.
Good morning, Ed.
How are you today?
Okay,
let me give you some sound there. I'm sorry, that was all me.
Okay. Good morning, Ed. Oh, I am well, thank you.
It's always better when I can hear that lovely flinty voice of yours.
Well, this is the kind of morning like you just want to sort of cocoon and light a fire and, you know, have a nice hot cup of coffee.
Sit down with your little loved one, your little furry loved one.
Pet.
Yes, it is National Rescue Dog Day. Do you have any dogs?
I do have two dogs, and one is a rescue.
Oh, fantastic.
I actually consider them both rescues.
Right. Well, you know, living with you would be a rescue in any case, I'm sure, man. I'm sure they're spoiled no matter what. I'm sure no matter what walks into the Hornbuckle-Arnold house, they are spoiled.
They are spoiled, yes.
Tell us about one of them. Tell us about the rescue.
Well, my little Cinnamon came to me through an agency. She was given up. She's just this little tiny, I don't know, mix of Yorkie-ish type mutt.
Something.
And as whomever who was her previous owners turned her into the shelter saying that she was a biter. Now this little dog is afraid of her own shadow. So, right. I mean, she lived in my closet for the first month I had her. She's not a biter.
She's more of a cat than a dog.
She's more of a cat. She was a barker. So I suspect that she didn't assimilate well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got her, and I'm sure she's glad you got her.
She's glad.
Right on. You brought a couple of friends.
I did.
We know this one very well here. Julie Lawton is with us from Julie Lawton Design Build. Hi, Julie.
Hello, Ed, and everyone in Laguna on this rainy morning.
How are you today?
Very good. It's Friday.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Paula, Julie got here about 7:05 this morning.
An hour early.
and she's been on this trial that's going on, right? She's been on this Johnny Depp thing, and you wanted some good reception, so she came in here for the Wi-Fi or whatever.
Yes, it started late this morning, so I'm jonesing for my update. Hey.
All right, what about our update? Where are we in the trial now, right now?
Well, they've gone through almost all of her witnesses, and so the end of it will be her witnesses, and then they'll have one last week to pull it all together for the jury. But it's been quite interesting because a lot of the witnesses have been proven already to be lying and whatnot. So it's been kind of interesting because it's a fact-finding mission here.
Right. Would you want to be a juror on this thing?
I love being a juror. I love serving my country. I think it's fascinating to watch the justice system. I really do. Because when you're actually in there, because I was a juror once, and I have jury duty, by the way, next month.
Nice.
Anyway, I like the fact of when you're actually in there and you're actually going through the system of what you need to check off to make the decision. It's fascinating because it is the law.
Right.
And then all the nonsense around it drops away, and it's kind of neat how it works.
Right.
Yeah.
And Paula, you're very, very... you're familiar with our system.
I'm familiar with our system. I'm married to an attorney, and both of my parents are police officers and homicide detectives.
Right. So being so familiar, have you ever been on a jury?
I served on a civil jury. Okay. I didn't serve on a criminal. I was kicked right off the criminal interview process, but I served on a civil jury.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I actually, and like an idiot, I went into and I didn't do this on purpose. I got called in to be a juror, and I wore a shirt that said guilty. You remember the guilty gym? Uh-huh. So I wore a guilty shirt, boom, kicked off immediately.
You're done. Yeah, you're out.
And I'd love to be on a jury.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It really is. You appreciate how it works.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Paula, behold, lo and behold, and surprise to all of us, Julie brought a friend this morning.
Yeah. I told everyone.
Julie is always, you just never know what's going to happen with Julie.
The friend she brought in is Michael Ballier. Michael, how are you this morning?
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And what do you do, sir?
I'm in residential real estate.
Okay, fantastic.
Here locally.
Fantastic, because we've got a lot of questions and a lot of things to discuss with you. I would like to first, however, mention that on Monday, we've got the golf tournament coming up.
We do.
All right, tell us about that, Paula.
Yeah, so this is, since I've been with the Chamber, this is our third golf tournament. I think it went on, 6 or 7 years prior to that, but we've changed the format a little bit. We have 112 golfers ready to go. Our sponsor, Julie Lawton Design Build, is our major presenting sponsor. We also have Noakes and Quinn. We have The Ranch, Bowmel Construction and Waste Management our other sponsors. So we are ready to go. We are, our office is packed. My car is full of stuff.
Now, will you be just working that day or are you golfing?
I am not golfing. I will be working.
Of course you will.
After registration, my work is going to involve serving cocktails to those who cannot get to a cocktail station.
Right.
So I don't know if I'd actually call that work.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm the same way. I'm scheduled to be there working. I don't know that I'm calling it working. I'm having fun. I'm playing music. I'm talking to people.
Well, and Ed always plays me Rush when I walk up. So how can you go wrong with that?
This is true. So, Julie, are you a scratch guy?
I'm a 7 handicap golf because my grandpa was the golf pro at the country club when I was growing up, and I started golf at 10, and then I was on the golf team 4 years in high school and had 2 scholarships to college for golf. And I turned them down. And so I have a 7 handicap for golf and I still have it. I still have my swing and all that good stuff. But as I was saying to Michael, I don't like playing in the rain. So it's going to be sunny Monday, thank gosh.
Yes.
So we're good for the weather. But thank golf so much. I've been playing golf for 40 years and a lot of practice.
And if you're not a golfer, if you want to come to the dinner. The dinner starts at 5:00. It's a terrific spread. You know, there's some great silent auction items.
Right.
It's just going to be a fun day.
It's a fun day. It's not
a serious tournament. Mm-hmm. Right. Nobody, there's no big prize.
Right.
You're getting a bottle of wine if you win or something. I mean, there's no big prize. It's just a very fun, social networking type environment.
If you don't golf, you can hack it and pick up, it's not that big of a deal. You can manage.
In the couple of times that I've been involved in this, I'm not a golfer. I have a brand new set of clubs. Never swung a club, ever. But I have the best time there. It is really fun, and the dinner is cool.
I have the clothes. I also have clubs, but they're sitting in my garage.
Michael, do you golf?
I don't. I don't. I mean, I did in my former life. You know, I was a banker for 25 years, and so I did.
You should have golfed.
I was on. No, I did. I did golf. It was, but it was, you do the circuit. The tour,
and
once or twice a month. So I never really, I like it. I think, in retirement, maybe I'll pick it up.
It's a beautiful thing to do in retirement.
Yeah. Right. Now, is golfing a good, would it be a good way to pick up clients?
It would. Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. And Julie, I wouldn't imagine that you had a lot of time to golf.
I don't have time.
Right.
How's that?
That's the problem.
She'd probably be a better golfer if she had time.
Well, that's
just
it. She's
a really good golfer
right
now.
It does take practice. And I feel bad Monday. I did not practice. I literally skipped golf during COVID, everyone. So it'll be fun. I hope I don't pull a muscle or something.
And since we brought Michael in, I want to talk about the housing market, but I want to start with you, Julie, and what you're seeing. Are you seeing more people that are wanting design and development of new houses or existing homes?
Well, funny enough, I looked on my LinkedIn yesterday, and there's actually a chart out there that says that remodeling has now officially surpassed new home construction, even though we see all the new homes being built in other areas. But the tear down and new home is one thing. And then I still focus on remodeling, but I am doing new construction. But the little chart shows that people remodeling their homes is surpassing the new construction. So that's all I can tell you. But it's on fire. We have a housing shortage right now, as Michael will tell you. There's a lot. Inventory is low. Everybody in the world is remodeling because it's, COVID kind of spurred it on. But it's natural. Your home, you outgrow your home in 5 to 10 years. Style change, kids move out, blah, blah, blah. It's constant. So remodeling's the ticket.
Right. Now, somebody calls you up for a remodel. You go, you see their house for the first time. You've already got ideas of what you can do in your head. What if their ideas are drastically different than yours? How does that conversation happen where you convince them that, hey, let me take the ball here?
Well, you got to interview the client and see what they want. If they're drastically different, it might be cool. And you just tell them, oh, sure, anything's possible structurally. You can transform the house from traditional to modern, but then you got to mention if you want that, it costs this. So you go through that process of, do you really want that? And once you start mentioning dollar figures, then they usually change their mind or they get on board because you really got to factor in how long it's going to take, how much it's going to cost. But any idea is possible. That's what I tell everybody. But it just matters how much you want to spend.
And is there a project you're working on right now that you're just digging? You're loving the project you're on?
Yeah, I love the one I'm on now in Laguna Beach because it's a classic cottage. And the father was a Japanese immigrant. And the daughter is my client. She's in her 60s. And they're going to live there till the end. And they're going to pass it to their daughter. So it's staying in the family. And we're preserving the Japanese garden. And it's just a wonderful project with wonderful people. And it's in Laguna, in North Laguna, and it's so special. And I brought Michael there Monday to do a little video, and he was like also kind of awed about the whole staying in the family. It's just fun.
Right. Now, you do just as good a work on the structure itself as you do the landscaping of itself. I've seen the landscaping work you do, and it's amazing.
You have to tie it all together. I'm the big picture, and I want to get in and get out, and then the homeowner's literally done. There's no more maintenance. There's maintenance every year, but the house is done. Right. And all aspects have to be done. I believe in doing the big picture for them. Because, you know, you don't want to leave two or three people at the end to do different things and bring in someone else. And it's bad enough that most people traditionally work with five people, architect, designer, contractor, landscaper, lighting, audio, visual. You know, it's a huge team, but I provide the one-stop shop, and I like to cover everything for the homeowner. So they're just done when they're done. Because it's a big process to go through and quite emotional and stressful, but my one-stop shop takes that out.
Now, Michael, how long have you been in real estate?
A little over 5 years.
Okay, and in the last 5 years, the difference you're seeing in the availability of homes now as to the availability 5 years ago. Describe that for us.
Everything has shifted, and inventory has been really tight, especially since COVID, right? So, but we are seeing an uptick. You know, the market shifted.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people say it's shifting, but I feel like it's already shifted. So we're seeing a little bit more inventory loosen up. The real problem is that people want to take money off the table or move around, but they just, you know, what they're looking for doesn't exist. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about, you know, doing new construction versus remodeling, there's just no land, right? And the prices have gotten so high that it doesn't make sense economically to go spend X dollars on a property and tear it down. So that's why the remodel, you know, I totally agree with Julie. We're seeing, you know, a lot of remodels with our clients as well. But inventory is starting to pick up. I mean, interest rates have gone up, which is going to throw a wrench into some things.
I was just going to ask you about that. Had you seen, because that happened about 3 weeks ago, that the Fed raised interest rates. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a difference in how quickly a home is now moving?
You know, it's a great question. So in my space, I work in, call it the luxury market, and that's broadly defined, but really in like the $5 to $50 million range. And right. So with those types of buyers, it's not changing things much. But on the macro level, it is going to change, and it's going to come up, right? So, let's just say, you know, dual income earners who, you know, have W-2s and rely on, and now that rates have gone up so much, so that's pricing, it's moving the market around. It's going to kind of price people out of certain markets.
Right.
So it'll start to shift.
So the Fed is guaranteed that they're going to raise interest rates an additional five times over the quarter that they just raised it. So that's in the next year. So at the end of 12 months from now, what will that look like with the interest rates substantially higher than they are now?
Yeah, it's gonna it's tough. The problem is it's a double edged sword. There's no rentals,
right? And rentals are skyrocketing as well.
They are. Yeah. They are. Yeah. And funny enough, so I used to be a bond trader. That was my first career, and so I've been watching interest rates, you know, for the last almost 30 years. It's a great question. I don't know what it's going to mean. I mean, you know, we're a little insulated here. The problem is that people watch these facts and figures, and that's on a macro level across the U.S. And here we have so many little microclimates, and you know, the coastal Orange County market is typically pretty insulated. So unfortunately for people who buy and sell real estate, it's going to maybe lock it up a bit to where, you know, it's almost like a standoff, right? People want to move, but they have no place to move. And, you know, so I don't think that we'll see. A lot of people are on the sidelines. I'm going to wait until the market crashes again. But, you know, just because we're in a recession doesn't mean that we're going to see falling prices.
So I have a condo in Dena Point, which Julie
remodeled it,
by the way, on the market, hit the market the day the interest rates went up.
Mm-hmm.
Has not sold.
Wow.
Oh, just like
really?
That.
Wow,
yes.
Really?
I thought you were going to get rid of it immediately.
So did everybody else.
Right.
That's crazy. Just like that.
So that's why I asked you that question, because it is in the, you know, it's in the, you know, $600,000 range. So it's, you know, I'm seeing people looking, saying, you know, it's just that much over my budget with the, you know, the new interest rates, because those aren't cash buyers.
Yeah. Right.
It's it's interesting. I mean, at that price point, just before the interest rates, you would have had 10 offers.
1 week. One week before. Mm-hmm. I mean, would have had it sold.
You know, it's real estate 101. You just got to price things right. And the problem is people have gotten a little greedy, just to be frank.
Right.
You know, so it's sort of, you know, we're seeing it where, you know, the house is worth X million and they want that plus. and they're trying to squeeze every dollar out. So I think, you know, if you need to sell your place, price it right.
Right. So I think that brings me to the next question. So Anne Marie and I had for the longest time rented this tiny little beach cottage in South Laguna that the owner eventually wanted to sell. Well, it was worth about $1.2 million, $1.3 million. It sold for $1.9.
Jeez.
So that brought up the question, and we ended up buying a house here still in town that was affordable for us. But that brings up the question, are we sitting on a bubble right now? And is that bubble going to blow soon?
I don't think so. Right. I don't think so. There's also a new dynamic, and that is just based on what's going on in our surrounding areas, like Los Angeles has become a war zone, you know, and hopefully I don't offend anyone, but I mean, I see every single day I'm getting phone calls from people that are relocating here to Orange County. And, you know, Orange County was this sleepy, you know, didn't have great rush 20, 30 years ago, right? And now it's become international destination that people want to live in.
Right.
That's, to me, I think that was the biggest shift.
I agree.
We're seeing a lot of people moving from Los Angeles and San Francisco, you know, techie people, because now people can work remotely, or people are just closing up their businesses and, you know.
Yeah, my client in North Laguna, she's moving from San Francisco. Can't wait to get out of there.
Really?
So the demand, to back to your question,
right,
you know, the demand is strong. And again, back to that insulation in the coastal, you know, marketplace, I don't see a bubble popping.
Okay.
Me either.
I mean, I think that, I mean, broadly, I think it's forecasted that even with rates skyrocketing, if you will, I think you'll still see kind of a 2-5% increase in property values. And there's certain neighborhoods that are just going insane. Like Crystal Cove is on fire. I mean, you know, people will buy a house.
Careful when you say that.
That's funny. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, certain neighborhoods and, you know, where inventory is extraordinarily tight, Irvine Cove, Emerald Bay, you know, these highly desirable neighborhoods where there's just not much inventory, and you have someone moving from New York or LA or wherever. And, you know, look, to them, I mean, our real estate values, you know, when we were looking at $1,000 or $1,500 a square foot, if you're coming from Silicon Valley, that's cheap.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's all relative.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing in Las Vegas also. I think I mentioned earlier, I'm a half and half resident. And the same thing that this month was, April was 20% over April of last year. It's just not coming down.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
They're expansive neighborhoods. They're building in places that you never thought they would build in. So there's the room out there to build.
But they're still building them on top of each other.
Yeah, right. When you fly it's in, so you see them crawling up the hills everywhere.
It's having grown up there, it's frustrating to see all that land and it's just cramming people on top of each other.
Right. Yeah. Say, I notice the same thing as I drive in. I notice the same thing as I drive in. So, Julie, how often do you have a client that will have just bought a home and needs something changed from it? They find something they like, they buy it, and they immediately, well, I need to change this.
Oh my gosh, every single one, because every home is built for the other person. Right. So when you buy, it's never perfect. You got to plan on remodeling, even if it's just changing the paint color or totally gutting it. But every person needs to personalize their own home. And that's my big thing in my pitch is make your home correct for your lifestyle because you are living in it, not someone else and not the next buyer. Make it for you. And it starts with the paint color, the mood, the space planning, how you live. So it's unfortunately you have to change it when you buy it. There's very few that just find the perfect home.
And then and move in and
yes,
keep it that way
very
forever.
Few.
Right. And do you find that buyer, that customer, that client, will depend on your advice more often than not?
Oh, yeah, because it's maddening because even when I did my own home, there's so many decisions like, wait, what do I need to do to make it work for me? Because they need the tools and the steps. There's a process, and it is the same process for everyone. And the building process is the same for everyone. But to get it personalized for you, you got to just simply follow the steps from your professional. Just like when you hire a lawyer, there's a step. When you go to the doctor, there's steps. So we take them through the steps and get it for them, you know, and take them through the process, but it's for them.
Right. And Michael, how is a buyer different that looks in Laguna Beach than just right up the street in Newport, than right up the road in Newport? Is that a different type of buyer? Do different types of people want to live in Laguna as opposed to like Newport or Dana Point?
You're going to get me in trouble.
It's okay. You're in the safe zone.
The radio only goes to Laguna, okay?
Yeah, it's a totally different buyer for sure. it's interesting because when I started, so I live in Laguna, and when I started, my brother-in-law owns the real estate company and primarily focused more in the Newport Coast, Corona del Mar area. And so I sort of fell into that space. And, you know, even though I have kids in the school district and everything, I just really kind of was looking there. So the people that are buying in Newport Coast or Crystal Cove, I've tried, you know, when they can't find what they're looking for, I'll say, you know, let's go to Laguna and look around. And people are, no way. I wouldn't deal with the summer traffic and, right. you know, and this and that. And also I think that, you know, someone who wants to live in a planned community, they want to know that their neighbor next door can't paint their house yellow. Right. Or they want that control.
And the security at the gate.
Air quote security at the gate. Right. And that kind of stuff. You know, Laguna is just a different, it's a very European, like laid back, cool vibe. And that's why I live here. I mean, I love it. I like to be able to walk to the beach. I mean, there's plenty of places where you can obviously walk to the beach.
Right. I have a difficult time with the Homeowners Association. I do.
Me too. I don't like it.
I like a purple door.
That's why we live here.
I like our diversity. Yes.
Yeah.
So Julie, what's up? What's on the banner for you?
I am just working on my new, I have a new website. I'm working on some new projects and I'm, just getting out there more because I spent so many years just work. So I'm trying to actually physically get out more and do more stuff and meet more people just because there's a whole new wave of people. You know, I turned 60 last 2 weeks ago and I'm like, you know, I need to meet some of the 40-year-olds and some of the younger people.
Well, what's wrong with us? Thanks.
I know all of you, but I just need to stay in the mix.
I promise you I'm not blowing smoke in your face. You are the most 40-ish 60-year-old I've ever met in my life.
I refuse to age. I'm locking it in at 40. I don't care what it takes.
I'm with you.
And Paula, we have the golf tournament, of course, coming up.
We have the golf tournament.
What else do you have?
We have a ribbon cutting on June 1 for Pacific Bookworks. We have a ribbon cutting on June 2nd for the Patrick Guyton Gallery. We have a ribbon cutting on June 9th for the new Sonder Law and Sonata, new hotel over here.
Oh.
And then we have a tentative one on the 23rd for a new physician that opened up in town.
Very cool.
Now, so we're busy.
Yeah.
Always busy.
Now, the new hotel that used to be the former Las Breezes,
yes.
I think they have a jacuzzi in every room. If I'm not mistaken,
No.
Am I crazy about that?
No, you're not crazy.
Okay.
Not every room. Okay. Some rooms do have jacuzzi tubs.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I just saw the pictures this morning of I actually got a tour, but the rooms weren't quite put together.
Right.
But I saw photos because I have to send a press release out, and it looks really nice.
Okay, very cool.
It's going to be a nice upgrade.
And a beautiful job last night at the tea and turmeric.
What
and
a ribbon cutting.
Well, my goodness. Fantastic.
Don't we love those ladies?
We really do. They're fantastic. Yeah. I love having them in. I love watching them together. They are true sisters that are in business together for family. And I love that. Thank you so much. How do people find you?
Oh, me? I'm a director at LagunaBeachChamber.org or just Google Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce.
You know, I have Erin in next week.
I know, my Erin. You get to know her a little bit closer.
I can't wait to sit and chat with her. She was just charming yesterday.
She's charming.
And she's a worker.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Michael, thank you for stepping in today. We'd love to have you back at some point.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd love to come back and talk about it. I actually have a passion outside of real estate, which is basically food and entertainment and covering things just in coastal Orange County. It's called Living the OC.
Okay.
And that's actually, we did a video through Julie's project and it'll be, I think up next week.
On Thursday and then your Living OCs on Friday videos, right?
Yes.
Kind of regular basis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not let you go just yet. What exactly did you shoot for Julie?
We did a walkthrough. Basically, it was a meet and greet. So what I like to do is meet and greet all different, you know, people that are interesting or that I enjoy being with here in Laguna. Like I did one at Oak Restaurant that's dropping this morning, which will be fun. Mm-hmm. But we went to look at that project on Chiquita and we walked it, the one with the cool Japanese garden.
Right.
So, you know, it's just kind of like a, you know, HGTV kind of walkthrough meet and greet. And so
very
just
easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the filming yourself?
Or? I have a team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course he's got a team.
Yeah.
You got to have a team.
Steve.
It's a one-man team.
Right? Small
team nonetheless. I'm not on my cell phone. Let's put it that way.
It's like the Lakers and LeBron here. It's a one-man team.
Yeah.
All right. To the three of you, to Julie, to Michael, and of course to Paula, thank you so very much for being here on Chamber Chat this morning. I'll see you Monday morning on the links, as they say.
Thank you.
Michael, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
See how easy that was?